Before we go any further, I do want to do a blessing of the men this morning. So if you are a man, I want you to put your hands out like this cup and receive this blessing for you this morning. Men, I bless you with peace, knowing that peace is needed in a man's life. I bless you with solitude and silence, knowing that in the midst of quiet, we can hear from God. I bless you with tears, knowing that real men really do cry. I bless the Father. You are not defined by your worst moment. You are defined by the God you serve. I bless you with strength to bend the knee, knowing that humility is greater than pride. I bless you with strength to stand, knowing that when you stand for others, the smile of God is upon you. I bless you to man up, knowing that if we take care of our responsibilities, God is pleased. And lastly, I bless you with rest. The head back, sawing logs, drooling on yourself kind of rest that only comes from a man who has finished his work. This is my blessing for you this morning. Generally, we have somebody pray for us, and this morning I want to pray for you instead. So if you join me in prayer as we go into what God has said to me this week. Lord Jesus, I humbly submit myself before your throne this morning, knowing that my earthly human words don't even come close to what you desire to say to us this morning. So take what you've prepared in my heart, and may it rest with weight upon our minds, upon our hearts and our ears, causing our feet and our hands to act. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. We are on a series on the rhythms of life. Last year, about this time, we did a rhythms of life series. It just seems like a good time of year to just kind of reflect and look back and look forward. And so we're doing another volume this June. And we're looking at five different rhythms of life, or you could call them spiritual disciplines. We looked at silence and solitude. We looked at hospitality. Last week, we heard about Sabbath from Pastor Jaime. And this morning, we're going to look at Scripture. And to do so, I want to read to you 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17. This series is a little bit different in that it's a little more teaching than it is preaching. And generally, when I preach to you, I give you one passage of Scripture that hopefully is easy for you to go back to. This morning, we're going to be using 2 Timothy as a catalyst to look at the four things that I have listed up here this morning. But if you would turn in the Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, in most of the pew Bibles in front of you, it's page 1156. If you have your Bible with you, that's great. If you have an app on your phone that you prefer, please pull that out. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read verses 14 to 17 to kind of jumpstart, catalyst what I believe the Lord is saying to us this morning. Starting in verse 14, we read, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." As I said, we're going to be using that as a catalyst or a jump start, looking at these four things that I have listed up here this morning as we look at Scripture. Bible study, devotional reading, memorization, and meditation. I believe all these four things are very important when we look at, when we read the Word of God. I had a buddy who sometimes would just take his Bible and he would put it on the grounds or in the middle of the room. Protect your ears. And he would go, "It's alive! It's alive! And everybody would be like, what in the world is this crazy man doing? And they come over to investigate this crazy weird guy who was screaming. Maybe he needed to be on medication. Maybe he had escaped from an asylum. Whatever it was, he drew attention. And then he'd pick up the Bible and say, it really is alive. Let me tell you about it. For what it's worth, I have never attempted that until just now. And probably won't. That's not my motto or my mantra. But he knew this book. He knew what was in it. And he understood that it could have impact on his life and those around him. And he couldn't help but want to share that. As we dive in this morning, I want to look at Bible study first and kind of what I mean and what we're talking about this morning. When we look at the Word of God, it's good to look at these four different ways of reading and understanding Scripture. And the first is Bible study. And the concept here is to know what it says to gain knowledge. Right? But that knowledge can't just stay in your brain. I've got fountains of worthless knowledge that mean absolutely nothing. Just yesterday, right? My wife says this is the truth. Just yesterday, I don't even know what we were talking about. All of a sudden, I was like, phew. And she's like, why do you remember that? And I said, because it's worthless. My mind just retains worthless information. But your mind can retain important information too. But that information can't just stay up there if it's important. It's got to impact and change your life. So we shouldn't just read the Bible or study the Bible for knowledge. We need to see where that knowledge interacts with our everyday life. If it doesn't interact with our everyday life, all it is a bunch of knowledge that is meaningless unless it affects who we are. So when we study the Word of God, it should affect us. When we study it, we're also looking for the big picture of what God is saying and doing. Not just the small list or whatever we're reading that day, the bigger picture of what God is saying and doing and desires to do in this earth that he placed us upon. Loving God with our mind. Somewhere along the line, I've heard this numerous times, that those who believe the Word of God are those that believe in Jesus, or those that call themselves believers are ignorant or stupid or unwise. We need to get back to the place where the learned, the wise, the brilliant, the smart is a good thing in Christianity. If God has given you a brilliant mind, we need you. We need you to voice the knowledge of which God has placed in your mind. The mind is also the battlefield of the soul. So the enemy likes to speak to our mind and say the opposite of what Scripture says. So this is why it's important to have the Word of God in our minds. We need to learn and internalize what the Scripture is saying so that it transforms us. Having Scripture shape our thinking so that it is life-giving. Life-giving and not life-taking. Scripture means what it says unless the context tells us otherwise. This is very important because oftentimes people will take the Word of God and use it for their own power or will, for destruction. So it's important to know the context so that the Bible is used for God's glory, not to prove your point. Just yesterday, I was reading through social media, and somebody used the Bible to tell somebody else that they were stupid. And every single thing inside of me just wanted to go, no! And the response of the person was, this is why I left Christianity behind. This is why I walked away. Because one person decided to use the Bible to prove their point rather than draw somebody's attention to Jesus. It breaks my heart. I want to like cry, climb in there and go, no! don't listen to that person. And you know what had happened? That person would go, no, don't listen to him. I'm right. He's wrong. And it becomes about my points rather than what God is saying. It becomes about a person's opinion rather than somebody being drawn to God. If we study the Word of God to prove a point, our knowledge is worthless. It's worthless because it will only hurt the person we interact with that has nothing to do with the Word of God at all. Devotional reading. This is not just for the retaining of information. This is a prayerful dwelling on a passage of Scripture. Having an open and reflective and listening posture to Scripture. Not just for knowledge, but to interact with those words, to consume them, to allow them to consume us. And a prayerful posture, listening to God. Not to master the Scripture, but to be mastered by it. Reading for depth, not just for breath. That's great. You read through the Bible in a year. Awesome. We have Bible reading plans in the back. You can do it in a year or 3 years or choose your own path. That is awesome and that is great. But if it's just the right Bible reading plan, it's just a reading plan. It must go deeper and take root and be established in us, dwelling in the text until it begins to live in and out of you. Seeking and listening for a personal word from God. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. 2 weeks ago, this past Tuesday, my grandmother, on my mother's side, went to be with the Lord, went to be with Jesus. And she would have been 93 years old in 2 weeks. And I had the most strange reaction, an unearthly reaction to her passing. You know what my reaction was? Relief. Relief that she had died, followed up with joy. Why? Because the Word of God tells me that there is hope. We do not grieve like those who have no hope. The Word of God says, I'll get to see her again. This woman lived every moment of her life out of the words that she meditated on. My mom found underline after underline after underline in the Psalms and the Proverbs. And every single time you entered into this lady's home, you felt like you were the king of the world. She was like most grandmothers of her day. You could not leave her house without gaining 10 pounds. I feel like we're losing the art of true hospitality. You walked in, you got a hug, you got ushered to the table. She was a genie when it came to making food. 30 people showed up at her house. She would make a 5-course meal out of bubble gum and the wrapper. And there would be pie to go with it. And you didn't even think about getting up and doing the dishes because you got hushed out of the kitchen. Go sit down, relax, peace. The Word of God so penetrated her life that she lived it out and probably didn't even know. Because it wasn't just words on a page. It became life-breathing for her. And right before she died, she said, it's okay if this wants to go, because I'll get to go see Dad. She was talking about her husband. And I'll get to go see Jesus. When the words on those pages become life and depth and breath, they change and transform you and give you hope in the God that they talk about. So we don't become those who grieve who have no hope. We grieve and we have hope. Because the word of God is active, dividing the soul and the spirit with truth and abundance and grace and peace. Memorization. Maybe the first two you're okay with, and this one you're going, this feels too much like work. Reading portions of Scripture until you commit them to memory. Why? To be able to carry the Scripture with you all the time. To remind you of who you are in Christ. Memorizing the books of the Bible or chapters and verses or time frames so that they can be recalled at a moment's notice. Memorizing Scripture that speaks of your identity in Christ, or memorizing verses that have a personal impact in you. I'm part of the LONCC. We love acronyms in the Christian Mission Alliance. We use them for everything, which stands for the Licensing, Ordination, and Consecration Council. And so I sit on the board that if somebody wants to become an ordained worker in the Christian Mission Alliance, I get to sit on that panel and interview them and grill them. Why? We want them to know the truth of the word. We want them to use it for the edification of others, not to tear others down. We want to check to make sure they know it. And I had the privilege of sitting on the panel that interviewed Amy Nielsen, our friend. And I sat there with, the smile on my face was, stuck in place because she ripped off 30 verses in her testimony. We hadn't even got to theological questions yet, and she had already given us 30 verses. And we looked at each other and thought, do we need to go any further? What are we testing this woman for? She is just rattling everything off. It was so consumed that she knew it. She memorized it. It changed her. And last Sunday, we got the privilege of honoring her in that accomplishment. One of the ways in which memorization so drastically affected me was several years ago when I had the opportunity to visit Russia. And I was sitting in this church that had once been an underground church, meaning it wasn't allowed, they couldn't be public, because if they were public with their profession of faith, they would be killed for what they believed. And during several years, they only had one or two Bibles that they would pass around, and people would devour them. Not literally, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually. They would devour the Word of God. And now they were free people, and they could worship in public. But you know what was fascinating? I was sitting there. I had not a clue of what was going on, because I couldn't understand a lick of what was being said. But all of a sudden, the guy up front was clearly reading from the Bible. And I heard people responding with him. I heard people rattling off whatever he was reading right along with him. And I looked around the room, and almost no one had a Bible. And I looked to my left, and there was a little babushka, a grandmother, sitting there. And as tears fell down her eyes, she is reciting the words that the pastor was speaking. I don't know how long she had the Bible, but it became a part of her. So that it didn't matter where she went or what happened to her, it transformed and changed her. And when we were done, the look on her face, those tears turned to huge joy, and then we did the greet one another, and she grabbed me and did one of these. The memorization of God's word can change and transform you. And lastly, meditation. And this is like memorization, but rolling it over in your mind over and over and over again. Slowly slowing down and giving your undivided attention to God, to go deeper with God and know his works and his words. Mulling over, chewing on God's word and application. Drawing your attention to God and how he sees people. Experiencing the calmness and peace that stems from the awareness that God is near. Growing in wisdom and knowledge. Meditating on God's word. And maybe some of us, meditation has this New Agey feel to it. And your thinking draws you away from God rather to God. I would challenge you to rethink that process. Because when you meditate on God's word, the things of the world disappear and the voice of God gets louder. Your life calms down and God's voice gets its due place in your life. Joshua 1:8 says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." And then Psalm 119:99 says, "I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes, O God." I was a teenager when I heard someone preach on those two verses for the first time. And he said, "You know what? I have found this to be true. When I meditate on God's word, I get smarter in other areas of my life." And I thought, wow, that's fascinating. That's an interesting thought. And he said, this was the middle of the summer at Christian camp, and he said, "Hey, listen, when you go home this fall, grab a passage of scripture and meditate on it. And then document what your grade is. Then the next semester, don't do it. Document what your grade is. Then the third semester, meditate on God's word again and document what your grade is." If your grades are not better when you're meditating on God's word, track me down and tell me it didn't work. And I thought, oh, I'm totally going to prove this guy wrong. That was the little pompous 17-year-old person that I was at the time. I'm going to prove him wrong. So my senior year of high school, I grabbed a passage of scripture, and almost every day after school, I devoured it. And I let it run through me and over me and through me. And I'm dyslexic, always struggled in school, would get 70s and C's, like giving my, like I had to struggle just to get a C. You know what happened the first quarter that I meditated on God's word? I got straight A's for the first time in my entire life. Straight A's. And I was like, what? There's got to be something. Somebody's messing with me. Somebody's playing a trick on me. I've never gotten straight A's in my life. So the next quarter, I didn't do it. You know what happened? Barely got a B. I'm like, this is hokey. I'm going to try this again. So the next quarter, I did it again. I got straight A's. And the third quarter, I got straight A's. And I pulled my 2.1 up to a 2.98 before I graduated. What? You mean the word of God is real? Do you mean that when you meditate on the word of God, it does make you prosperous? Not the concept of wealth, but prosperous of the mind and the heart and the soul? I didn't do it my first semester of college, and I got a 2.6. And I did it the rest of college, and I got a 3.0. I got the seminary, grad school, and my last semester of seminary, I did 46 credits in 1 year. They do not allow you to do this anymore. And during that year, I memorized the whole book of 2 Timothy. And I had the best grades that year than any other year in seminary. When we study the Word of God, when we do devotional reading of the Word of God, when we memorize the Word of God to carry it with us, when we meditate on it day and night, it can change and transform you for the better. Inside your bulletin, you got one of these little cards. If you need one, if I could have the first impression team grab the stack in the back. If you need one, just kind of put your hand up. They're going to come through. On the front side of it is Ephesians 2:8-10. And you could use this with anything you like. I just thought, you know, this is a really good, this section of scripture has played a huge part in my life. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. It's not on us, it's on him to do it through us. Take this card, put it somewhere visible. Memorize it. Put it to memory. Meditate on it so that it changes and transforms you. On the back side, I gave you different ways that you could do those four Bible study for the knowledge of how it intersects to your life. Get the bigger picture. Read through the whole book of Ephesians. Read through chapter 1 and the rest of 2 to see the context that's there. And then chapter 3, explaining the height and depth and breadth and width of the love of God. Then prayerfully read it over again, listening and growing in your relationship with God. Memorize it and meditate on it. Not just for your benefit, but for the benefit of those around you. Let the Word of God change you. If you've never done this before, I'd really encourage you to do so. If you're already in a healthy rhythm, keep going. You already know the truth of what I'm telling you this morning. But if you've never, if you haven't done that before, and this is helpful for you, take this, put it inside your car. Maybe there's another passage of scripture you want to use. Print that out. Put it somewhere. Put it on your mirror in your bathroom so it's the first thing you see when you get up. Put another copy in your car so that you don't yell and scream at the person as you drive down the road with them. Put it in your office so when that coworker, that one that you know that I'm talking about, is the way they are, you go, all right, let me be for their benefit. Put it around your house so that it changes the roommate that you are, the spouse that you are, the child that you are. Let it change and transform you. Because I believe it would be for your benefit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are God and I am not. I thank you for the words in the pages of the Bible, that they do transform, change, shape us for the betterment. Lord, I ask that you would allow them and use them to shape and transform us today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Will you stand?